All right. Hello, hello, everybody.
Perfect.
Welcome to the third episode of Unleashing DY. We've got another super special guest. Our friend Andrew Fisher is here. And Andrew, he's a bit of a DY veteran, serial entrepreneur, I guess it'd be fair to say. He's the CEO of Noble Networks, which is a DY infrastructure operator. He's also the grant admin over at Pollen. You can see by the cool hat and shirt he's got on, which I definitely need to talk to you about getting after this call. And then also he's got a new venture, which we're going to get a chance to learn a bit about today. It's a project called Soul Splits, and it's right in line with sort of that DY picks and shovels thing that a lot of us are interested in learning about. So Andrew, thank you for coming on the podcast. Glad you're here.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks. I appreciate having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's get in with just some background context, backstory. Can you tell everybody, how'd you get into DY? How did you start your first company? And just give some context for there.
Yeah, man. DY was it's definitely been a journey on DY, right? So I was originally working in tech before this. I was working as a front end, like an app designer, app developer, actually, running IoT application, actually, for smart water infrastructure. So I was building those systems, designing it. And, you know, before that, prior, I'd worked at a few different crypto startups and small, just crypto focused products. Sure. So I was always into the crypto space, loved mining. I still have my own mining, cave back in my garage. I was doing a bunch of Ethereum mining, a bunch of proof of work stuff. And I kind of saw Helium start, I think like a lot of other people did. And I was like, wow, this is really cool. Let's do, IoT mixed with crypto. Like, that's totally something that I could be into. Grabbed my first, six units, and I did a kind of a proof of concept out here in Los Angeles, and everything was going really, really well. And then, I had never really started much on my own. It was always working for others, and other companies. And I was like, I'm going to take a shot at this one. I think that this is a pretty cool model. And so I, raised a little bit of money, grabbed a bunch of Helium miners. Obviously, lots of things happened, like trying to get them. It was like at the height of the market.
Sure.
And built out, a network across South Jersey, where at the time there was no coverage. And we built a network of 200 Helium devices across South Jersey. And then, obviously the market started dipping a bit. And we had to figure out other sources of revenue to really help drive that business. And then we found Pollen. We thought, this is really cool. Helium's doing something similar, but these guys are starting right now. So, we made pretty substantial orders in Pollen, and it's been history since. Just, we started out, guys putting hotspots in windowsills, and, a year and a half later, we're putting up full, multi-radio cell sites, which is kind of crazy. Yeah.
That is crazy. What a fun journey to get from where you started to where you were at. And so when we were chatting offline, just to give some context for people, as you were going through those large scale deployments going all the way across Jersey and what you've done in Los Angeles, there were a lot of pain points, a lot of problems that you uncovered. Just the whole process of building a business around that is difficult when there's not a lot of infrastructure. What in particular were some of those pain points that you were encountering, that you still encounter, that were a bit of a germ of the idea for your new project that we can get into here shortly after?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot. I mean, building a business is tough, but building a business where there's not really the standards or like rules set or, those things in place, right? That's, I think, a little bit more difficult because you're kind of making them up as you go. I think like a lot of us in the beginning, it's like, how do we build this model? Do we send this off? Is it a mail order thing? Are we, setting these things up for people? Are we, how are we doing these splits? Are we doing it in crypto? Or are we paying people in dollars? And, all these different issues, right? Around host management. And then, payment splitting was like, probably one of the largest, largest problems for me, right? When we first started, just figuring out all those internal systems. Like, do we build this ourselves? Do we get developers to, build this stuff out? Do we build it out ourselves and try to figure it out? I will just say, thank God for Hotspotty coming along, because those guys were a lifesaver in the very beginning, learning, how to get all this stuff done, because without it, like without those different, you know, tools in place, networks don't have the ability to grow, right? And so like those ecosystem partners really powered, I think, a lot of how we did it. And most people that were deploying didn't really have an opportunity to, you know, build their own tools. Like it's expensive. You don't know if it's going to work. There's lots of trial and error. So it's like starting two businesses doing that. So, you know, the biggest part for me was just, you know, accounting for all of this stuff and splitting. Even after, you know, having some of these tools, like with Hotspotty and, you know, commission reports and all this stuff, it was great, but still, you know, just, you still have to be on it and you still have to be doing these things manually. So that was probably the biggest issue for me, other than, you know, finding people. I mean, how do you explain to someone what you're doing? Like, you know, especially, you know, our target market, right? Like where we went, you know, there was a market at the time. I think, you know, Emirate was a thing and, you know, these different companies that were, you know, FairSpot and like, you know, these mail order companies that were sending out hotspots. It was a lucrative business, but it was so saturated by the time we started that it's like, how do you break into that when there's all these massive competitors? So we kind of took a different approach and we're like, all right, we're going to communicate this to, you know, regular people, and we're just going to find people with property, right? Like that's essentially the thing that everyone needs, is just property. So sure. How do we incentivize people to do that? So we created a white glove service where we set everything up, we build it, we install it, we give a profit split on it. And kind of went that way. So other than like finding people and like getting, you know, telling these people that were not crypto native, that didn't know what Helium was, and getting those people, you know, just figuring out just the internal structure of how you pay people and how you process your, you know, your revenue and all that, that was probably the biggest stumbling block.
Yeah, that, I mean, obviously when you're dealing with all of these kind of moving parts and you're dealing with the tax implications and, you know, are these like partners, are they employees and all of that, it gets really messy.
Do I have
really
to 1099 every single person?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Do I have to 1099 all these people? Like what tax documents do I have to do? You know, like, am I, especially with like crypto regulation stuff too, right? Like, you don't know, am I a money services business? No, I'm not. You have to figure out these different things because your liability and like your company's at stake, right? So it's like, you know, what do I have to follow? What don't I have to follow? Like how do we scale this in a way that's actually going to be not only profitable, but then how are we going to scale it in a legal way, in a way that, you know, people aren't looking at us like, oh, this is a scam. This is, you know, you have to kind of build a trust with a lot of your people. And I think that tools, right, and like transparency, those types of things help build that. So I mean, that's the type of stuff that we were looking for.
Sure. So those experience that led you to build your new project, which is called Soul Splits. So give us the 500 foot overview of what that is, what problem you're solving, and how I would assume how you're going to use it with your business.
Yeah. Well, I mean, previously to Soul Splits, like it was kind of like in one of these, it was always in the pipeline, right? So we had actually contracted with the Helium Foundation to, you know, on a previous project where at the time we were looking for, a bridge for Helium. Like there had not been a decentralized asset bridge made. Right. And so we were like, okay, like first we want to use smart contracts to solve a lot of these things, because being from the crypto background as well, it's like, okay, I know how to utilize those. We need smart contracts with this, and it's currently unavailable. So at the time we got contracted with Helium Foundation, we had built a proposal through their grants program to build a decentralized asset bridge. And so we had been working on that for probably 4 or 5 months. And we had gotten, I mean, it's up on testnet. It works. I think I had done some interviews with like Gristle King and stuff about it. And we were, starting to promote it.
Nice.
And, you know, it worked. And, I've got a bunch of Helium testnet tokens on my Ethereum wallet. but we were using that to kind of like bridge to those EVM chains, right? And like start getting that smart contract functionality. And that was going to lead into these other things that we were doing that we wanted to do.
Sure.
But at the time, obviously, then Helium started telling us like, hold off on some of the development, maybe pull back a little bit. And then they dropped the news to us that, you know, we're going to be moving to Solana. And at the end of the day, you know, we ended up sunsetting that grant. And I said, you know, like, well, you know, Helium, we were going to do this anyway, right? Like we were going to, we were going to build this other product. Why, you know, we don't want to be a bridge company. Like if we didn't have to be a bridge company, I didn't want to be a bridge company. There's like liability and risk and everything associated with that too. But we were building it out of necessity, right? Like it was something that nobody else was doing at the time. So if somebody doesn't want to build it and I need it, you know, eventually I'm just going to say, cool, well, I'll build it. You know, like we'll get it done. Yeah. After that though, you know, the plans were always to kind of, you know, I come from a DeFi somewhat background and I enjoy, you know, the DeFi tools and stuff. So, you know, SolSplits is essentially just SolSplits at a 500-foot overview. SolSplits is a decentralized utility layer for DeFi, or, you know, for TIP-in, for DeepIn, whatever you want to call it. We're building that glue, that layer in between all these networks, because right now at the moment, these networks are kind of disjointed in terms of like, you have all these amazing different projects that are doing amazing things. You've got things like HiveMapper solving the mapping issues. You've got, you know, Helium with the LoRaWAN and the mobile. You've got Pollen with the LTE coverage. You've got things like GeodeNet with the space weather mining and Boring Protocol doing their decentralized VPN and React Network that's going to be coming out doing, you know, virtual power plants, you know, based off of blockchain technology. Like all these things are amazing, but there's no like one standardized thing to handle all of their profit splits, because most of them, since they're all working off that token incentivized model, there's always going to be some sort of like host level arrangement, or, you know, whether you want to call it rent or whatever you want to call it, there's going to be some sort of model in there where you have to pay somebody. And there's not one thing that's built for every single network, right? So there's a bunch of different tools that you have to, I mean, I think with certain things, I have to go through a million different tools just to get what I want done, right? So we kind of looked at that and we're like, well, we could do that on chain. And we can do that to give, you know, multiple benefits, not only the splitting side, but let's do the, you know, tax liability side. Like, I don't want to be responsible for my, you know, my host's taxes and issuing 1099s. And I want to be able to kind of control what my tax basis is of what I take in, you know, so that I can, you know, make the best out of my situation, right? Like every business would want to. So at the end of the day, SolSplits is just, you know, it's an on-chain composable smart contract system that you can stack into millions and, you know, millions of different configurations to pay out exactly who you need to for any interested parties in any of these networks.
That's awesome. And I know, you know, the utility there, the opportunity within DeFi and without out, you know, outside of DeFi as well is just massive. And solving that problem with doing, you know, partner splits, because that's going to persist in every, call it TIP-in, DeepIn, whatever the name is that we haven't landed on yet. All of those networks have those problems. So the payment splitting side is super interesting. You also talked about a couple other things that were related to kind of controlling your tax basis. Would you say those other, call them benefits, are sort of your secret sauce for how your solution is going to be just over and above what else would be available for solving some of these problems?
I think each one of the features, right, could kind of be used on its own. And I think that it would be, you know, like I look at like current like host management sites, right? And we're not looking to replace any of these host management platforms, because they do so much. I mean, it's like the tracking of your users, like showing exactly how each unit did what, like, you know, positioning and all these other things that are built into that is great. The one side downside of that is that I have to manually process all my transactions every single month, right? And not only do I have to manually process all my transactions, but I'm receiving all these funds in my wallet, which means every time I receive money, that's a taxable event. And then every single time I pay somebody out, I have to keep track of how much I've paid them out for the entire year. Because if it's anything above $600, now I owe them a 1099. So now I've got to pay a tax person to help, you know, distribute these 1099s. And I've got to, like, there's all these extra steps, right? And on top of that, if you consider like current tax law, the way it works with cryptos, every single microtransaction, anything that hits your wallet is a taxable event. And any one of these crypto tax, like tax services, they charge you based off how many transactions are on your wallet. So being even a small, like with a couple, you know, hotspots, pinging it four times a day and you're getting four transactions a day, that's, I mean, you four transactions a day times two devices, that's eight transactions. That's, the math, 240 something
Right.
transactions a month, right?
Yeah.
I think if you look at it, it's like anything above 1,000 on some of these things, you're already in the mid tier. So you're looking at, the highest tier of paying for crypto tax services just off the bat, just from owning two miners.
Right.
So, it's savings on that alone, just from like having to take care of people's 1099s as well as that would be worth it. But the splitting side is so much better because now these splits are happening on chain. They're happening with, smart contracts that are only editable by the person that is creating them. And it's happening before it hits your wallet, right? So you're not taking on that tax liability or that tax basis.
Right.
But also on top of that, you can, there's a, we created this interesting thing where it's kind of a tool where it's a one person split. And you think, well, like, what's a one person split? Why would you do that? And so we view it as kind of a proxy wallet. So say I have, everything other than my hosts or investors or anybody that I'm splitting out on this that's an interested party, the rest of it would go to the company, right? Well, I've got this company accountant. So I say, all right, well, I could just split it off. And then I am, again, not choosing my tax basis. It's happening whenever that's being split off to me. Or I could create a one person split and allow it to sit there, right? And so this almost becomes like kind of a proxy wallet. And that
Okay.
proxy wallet just holds those tokens until you decide to claim and how much you want to claim. So let's say I'm like, I'm towards the end of the year and I've claimed a lot on my taxes, but I feel like the token price isn't really where I want it to be. I don't want to claim that income this year. It's very similar to like a independent contractor doing a bunch of work for somebody and then
Sure.
them giving you the check in December and you saying, well, I'm going to wait till January to cash that because I don't want it on my taxes this year. I want to push that to next year.
Okay.
You're never essentially in control of it until you claim. So that kind of gives you the flexibility to choose when exactly you want to take that tax hit and at what price. And it gives you a little bit of control over the environment instead of just kind of be sporadic at whatever price the Oracle's at that day.
Interesting. So that gives users the ability to control the tax liability, and then it's sort of functioning like an escrow contract, so they don't have to worry about losing the funds or them getting hacked. It's on chain, you can
It's
verify it.
essentially it's on chain. It's permission to whoever created the contract. So say, I create the contract, I create that split. I'm the only one that can edit that split. So unless you're getting your keys taken, which again, in this DY community, right, we're gonna have to do a lot of education
Sure.
on once we move make that move to Solana, because I think a lot of people, especially in the Helium ecosystem, they only, they understand Helium, but they don't really understand a lot of the broad, aspects of crypto. So, educating people on safety with keys and everything. But I think that, if you can have these contracts that are only signed by yourself, like there's not going to be an ability for anyone else to change that contract because you are the one who created it, right?
Sure.
So at the end of the day, you're the only one that can take it. Yes, it's like kind of like an escrow account. Nobody else has signing rights on it. So it's yeah, it's a cool system.
Yeah.
It's only gonna get better over time.
That's awesome. When you mentioned earlier, so I know that you're a bit of a DeFi degen. I think you're self-described as a bit of a DeFi degen. And so what you're talking about, a lot of overlap in terms of different sort of DeFi projects out there. Are you starting to think about the, applications or the implications of what this can turn into with respect
Oh,
to
yeah.
other kind of novel DeFi components?
100%. Yeah, I mean, we've thought of about different, products, but I think at the end of the day, a lot of them came back to splits was the first thing that you had to enable in order to do that. For instance, like just thinking at a high level, like if you wanted to create like a DY lending platform, right? And you had, right now one issue is that we had with building this company is we couldn't go to a bank and get a traditional bank loan. Like
Right.
they didn't want to give you a business loan. They're not going to touch anything with crypto. So how do you get money, right? Like, so say you want to create like a lending platform, but you needed it to be secure and you needed it to, be trustless and have some collateral and stuff like that. Well, what if you created, an NFT staking contract, very similar to SolSplits, how it's going to be, with SolSplits, you're staking an NFT, it's creating the target to that contract instead of to your wallet address. So now everything is being sent there. Well, what if you were then able to stake that? Like stake that contract or stake that
Sure.
NFT or like, put that into a contract that now, you're saying, cool, I'm putting this up as collateral. This is an asset, you know, an income generating NFT. Here's my track record. All that information's on chain now. You can almost create like a, you know, kind of a deployer score, right? Or whatever. And then you can give out, you know, a loan based off of collateralized income, based off of these NFTs that people already have set. I mean, there's applications for that. But then again, unless you have that on-chain staking contract or that splitting contract, or being able to say, okay, cool, if I stake these, I want to give you 20% split. Well, how do you trust that they're going to give you that 20% split unless you have a protocol online to already do that?
Right.
Like, you know, it always comes back to the splitting. If you wanted to, you know, create incentivized like liquidity, and like, there's just so many different things that you can do once you have splits involved. Right. And so it's like, I kind of look at those two realms, like DeFi is great, DY or Deepin or Tippin, they're all great as well, because it's kind of giving that real world use case to most people that aren't crypto people.
Sure.
But if we can get those crypto people, those hardcore DeFi people also involved, I mean, I think both of those ecosystems can really, really start, you know, pumping out some really interesting products. But I think that at the end of the day, it comes down to those primitives that you have. So, you know, our goal is to eventually create an entire utility layer, because you look at all these L1s and these different types of cryptos, and they all have tools, you know, on-chain tools, on-chain utility built into these different protocols that help support those networks. And you don't have that right now for our space. So, that's what we ultimately want to build in the long run, is just that utility.
It's a total no-brainer, both being primarily from like the traditional kind of call it crypto space, that's even a thing, traditional crypto space, and then transitioning more into DY, realizing that there is quite a disconnect in a lot of respects. So I think that the application, I bet anybody who has a handful of deployments running, everybody's going to use Soul Splits, because it is a no-brainer for those that have to manage all of that cumbersome called administrative work that happens outside of just the actual business process. But are you thinking of other sort of use cases or applications for other, call them Deepin or Tippin projects, for ways to use your smart contract systems over and above just the payment splitting?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we've talked about different things that we could start adding to it. You know, I think one of the areas that a lot of these networks are going to run into, which you're seeing in a couple of them, like you don't really see it with Helium, because Helium, you know, obviously they have it on centralized exchanges. There's enough people in the ecosystem at the moment to incent, you know, to have a liquid market, right?
Sure.
But what you're seeing is you're seeing a lot of these different companies that are starting out, right? Very illiquid market. So you're seeing a lot of price action, price volatility, et cetera. So, you know, eventually, you know, we'd like to create certain types of contracts, providing liquidity for these markets, like, you know, being able to incentivize people to provide liquidity on these decentralized exchanges. Because if anything, the FTX stuff taught a lot of people is like, you know, centralized markets bad, like decentralized markets good. Like there's always ways better to minimize risk on decentralized markets. And also like, you know, it just gives so much more flexibility, right? So the difficult part about that is that most people don't understand, or they haven't learned yet about the possibilities, or they don't understand necessarily the risks involved with certain things. So like I said, education on that side is going to be key. But if you can then take that, and after helping educate that community into it, say, here's the risks, here's the rewards, but now this is the benefit, and I'm going to give you this benefit associated with it. And then we can use, you know, tools like Soul Splits, or, you know, whether that be Soul Splits or other tools that we are going to be building to do that. You know, you can bootstrap liquidity on a network in a heartbeat just by, you know, incentivizing different ways on liquidity pools, et cetera. So again, it's just like, it's creating that utility layer, right? That one utility layer that helps bridge the gap for all of these different issues, and expanding that, you know, system of smart contracts to build for all the different networks, because they're all going to have similar issues. But also, you know, it's not only going to be Soul Splits, right? Eventually, you know, we're already, looking into changing some of the name already, because we realized that we kind of, put ourselves into a corner with just, choosing Solana only. But we're looking to build this for all chains that DY/Tipin/Deepin networks are on. Like, we want to. I'm just going to call it Deepin for right now. I'm making the call. I saw them put it on Twitter. I like it. I like the DY side, the whole like DY, DeFi. So I'm going to call it Deepin. But I don't know. It's like there's so many. Polygon ecosystem obviously has a lot. So, we want to be cross-chain compatible. We want to be multi-chain. So, we're already looking in and starting to build, those sorts of things for soul splits protocol.
There you go. So the idea, you'll start on Solana and then that makes sense. You got Pollen there, you got Helium moving there. So that'll be the first kind of home base. And then you'll look to expand to other L1s. Do you have a roadmap sort of in mind with where you'll go next?
Obviously like Pollen was the first ones that we started building it for. Obviously with the grants program and everything else, we're still in the running for, one of the grants to help build it, because everything's been self-funded up until now.
Sure.
But that integration, like each network is different on what they need to integrate, right? Like, what you can do with Pollen versus what you can do with Helium, like we're finding out key differences, right, in how those networks work. Pollen, they target your NFT and they just send you your rewards now weekly, right? They send them over. Whereas Helium, they're using XNFTs, which are like executable NFTs, where you have to claim those rewards from those NFTs and then you have to distribute them. So it's like, those are two very different issues, right? Like, how am I going to claim these things? Like, so we have to build that functionality, right? So we're looking to try to be available, when Solana launch or the Solana migration from Helium takes place. We want to be available from day one. So that's our goal. Okay. We're also looking to, launch and release at least in a limited capacity until we have a full audit, to early participants that want to try it out. We're looking to launch sometime in Q1 as well. So we're just trying to get all these tools up and available online. The contracts have been built. Everything's, working and ready. It's just, building out that user experience, making it easy for people that don't necessarily understand the space, but also like robust enough and advanced enough for, veteran users in the space to do the same thing.
Right. Thankfully, I'd imagine that your experiences and all the expertise that you have just building out networks at scale will be a really good test for ensuring that this is sort of passes the sniff test for all the usability.
I'm going to be guinea pigging myself.
That's awesome.
I'm going to be guinea pigging us first. Like we're going to be the guinea pigs. We're not going to put anyone under the fire first. We're definitely going to put it on our units and test it out, because that's the last thing I want is just from a business standpoint, but also from just a human standpoint. Like I don't want to be responsible for anybody's money and so we're definitely going to guinea pig ourselves to start.
That's awesome. Getting to eat your own dog food in any startup product is like the ultimate test there. So you mentioned Q1, you guys targeting probably like end of Q1 for availability that people can try this, or will there be an earlier beta? What's the timeline looking like?
So we've got a wait list up right now on SoulSplits right now on SoulSplits.xyz. So we're prioritizing that wait list. We're going to be giving access to people. There's a cool little social, kind of skip the line promotion going on where people can, share our stuff or join our Discord, do so super easy stuff just to kind of move their way up. That's a point-based system. Right now, the latest I've heard, the latest announcements you see from Helium and stuff, you see them saying that they're going to be launching in Q1, right? Now, whether that's the beginning of Q1, end of Q1, timelines and Helium don't always match up. But I want to, take them at their word and try to see if it happens by then. And, we want to be ready for that. So we're working diligently around the clock to try to get it up sooner than later, because obviously right now it's the end of the year. I want to try to get something up, if I dare say in the next couple of weeks, in terms of early people getting in and trying it out. Again, like a full public release, we want to have done by the time Helium, is available. But again, those features will need to be tested a bit too, because they're going to have different intricacies than Pollen, right?
Yeah.
Like, we have this entirely new system for claiming rewards, et cetera.
Right.
So it might not be available to everyone when Helium first launches, but that wait list will be there. So
yeah,
anyone can jump on board and kind of join up and try to get in early. But yeah, I'd say, you know, we're looking for early, if not, you know, mid Q1 to get everything released. But we want to be safe and get an audit on all of our contracts first.
Yeah, you have to. It's just a non-negotiable these days. Are you guys in contact with Helium to try to understand like some of the intricacies and some of the, I'm sure there's architecture decisions that they're deciding on now as they're making that migration? How are you staying on top of that process to know what you need from a solution standpoint?
Yeah. So I chat with the different members inside of that, you know, that space. I jump in from, you know, different contacts that I've had within the Helium Foundation and just like try to get as much information as I have, but they've actually been really good about putting their Solana contracts and, you know, their infrastructure online and it's open source. So, you know, when it comes to like development, we just kind of peruse and see like how things are being built. And that gives us a pretty good idea. I know that, you know, they're slating, you know, DevNet or TestNet soon to where we can have access to it. Or, you know, most people have access to it so that, you know, you have these legacy applications like the guys at Hotspotty and like all these different things that are built on top of the Helium ecosystem. They're going to need some time to adapt and to, you know, change things too. So we're looking to see it, learn as much as we can from the open source contracts. But at the end of the day, like a DevNet or a TestNet, those are going to be, you know, it's going to be a crunch when those are released.
Yeah.
Cause I know it's going to be pretty close to the time that they actually merge, you know, that's going to be a crunch. We're going to be doing, you know, 48, 30, you know, 72-hour crunches, just like trying to get everything updated as best as we can by that time. So
that's always gonna be changes. It always changes. I don't envy that by any means, because I know that's it's a lot, just because you're staying on top of so many different components that ultimately affect what you're doing. And they can function independently, and some of them can maybe be dependent on each other. So it's a process, I'm sure. So you mentioned your Discord. People can join the list. Where can people go and stay in contact, sign up? Like where should people keep in contact?
Yeah, so all the links are on there. So we actually, if you sign up for the wait list, you know, you can find our Twitter, our Discord, you know, we're on LinkedIn. You know, that's more business contacts and stuff like that. But sure. I mean, those are the places we're at. We've got our own Medium account. We haven't put anything up yet. I'm going to be putting a post in the near to distant future. Not too distant. I'll be putting something out on like different functionalities, how everything's going to work. But they can follow us on Twitter at SoulSplits. You know, soulsplits.xyz is the link at the moment. You can kind of see some of the UI components and like how things are going to be set up over there. Check us out, join our Discord, join Twitter, you know, follow me. I am Andrew Fisher. I post a lot of the stuff on Twitter and kind of trying to get feedback from the community and stuff like that. So all the different outlets, we're on all of them.
You're on all of them. You gotta be.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, are there any final thoughts or anything you want to share before we get a chance to wrap it?
Yeah, man. I mean, one, I'm just stoked to see more people in the space doing, you know, DY tipping content. Again, I said, I'm going to call it Deepin. Going with Deepin. I'm stoked to see more people interested in the space. I think that like a lot of our success, right, is going to be built on these utilities being built. So, you know, I just want to make like a call to action for like a lot of the developers, like don't get zoned into one network, right? Like expand and think a little bit bigger, try to build these things that are going to affect the community as a whole, because that's the glue that holds like a lot of these networks together. The developer communities, like obviously the Solana developer community, you saw it with this whole FTX thing. They came together and really, you know, solved a lot of the issues that were happening on the network when it comes to like security with, you know, upgrade keys for Radium and like, or for us, or not Radium, for the DeFi utility, the Serum. So it's like there's all these different issues, right, that developers can solve, right? And the strength of a network is often determined by the collaboration and the community around it. So if we can create like that solid, you know, developer base and that solid ecosystem around what we're doing in physical infra, like that's key, right? And so we really just want, like, we're anybody, if you've got a great idea, steal any of my ideas. Like I'll tell you, I'll just like put ideas out there all the time. I don't care. Just build it. Because at the end of the day, it's going to protect my investment. It's going to protect your investment. You know, these things we're not just putting our time and money, like our time and money, our time is money. Our time is our life. Like we're putting things into this and it's right. a real investment. So, any bit of help and any bit of, you know, anything that we can get out of it, in terms of building together, it's going to be really helpful. So, yeah. I just encourage everyone to get involved.
Yeah, that's really good advice, and B, it is, you know, those kind of call them the sort of greasing the skids for the network is going to be the thing that helps the network. Because a lot of the time, the problems around scalability, at least with physical infrastructure, it's not necessarily you actually setting up the physical infrastructure. It's all the things that enable your ability to do so. You know, you talked at the beginning about all the problems that are related to what happens as you start to do that as an actual business. And so if we think about having tens of thousands of nodes or millions of nodes out there and hotspots, that's not just a network problem. It's the sort of the picks and shovels, if you will. And so we need a lot of picks and shovels to be able to get a network that's robust enough for people to actually use it in a meaningful way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not only that, just like, I mean, it supports the general, like the bones of the network, right? Like right now you see a lot of deployers, like, you know, obviously for the longest time when it was good, right. And the prices were going up and price affects a lot of things. You know, you saw the growth of the Helium network just go bananas, like it exploded, parabolic. Right? And parabolic. And people are just like buying devices. But now, you know, due to price action and all this other stuff and bear market, whatever you want to blame it on, you know, people are feeling that burn. They're feeling that heat. You know, they're looking for someone to blame. And it becomes, it gives out a lot of negative energy, right? Whereas like you take that frustration, you take that stuff and you just put it into something like something worthwhile of doing to fix it yourself, like, in, you know, just go and try to fix it. It's gonna be much more worthwhile. But also you see these people getting like feeling that hurt, right? And so what does that do? It like encourages people to sell when they don't want to, right? Because they might need money at the time, right? Like it encourages, like it brings down liquidity because people don't want to sell, but other people, you know, they want to buy, but they want to buy in certain amounts. And it's like you see these imbalances, right, that start happening. And then what happens with that? Like then people don't have the money because they don't want to sell their tokens. So the network's going to stall. It's not going to grow anymore. It's slowing down, right? And growth, because the incentives might not match up to what the price tag of a lot of this equipment is. So if we can solve like those issues, right, the liquidity issues or you know, just put a positive spin on some of this stuff, it's going to change that dynamic to where the networks are back focused on growth and they're not having to battle all these other issues that are stagnating that. So it's like, I'm just looking, you know, that's why I chose to do this, is because I, you know, everyone else, right? Like just like everyone else, as soon as this thing started going south, like it gets rough, right? It gets rough, especially in crypto. If that's like your sole, revenue stream, I mean, that has to do with diversifying everything else, but that's a whole other thing. But like, if that's your revenue stream, you have to figure out a way to turn that into something better. So, you know, just right now in the bear market, it's a time for builders. So it's just like dig in, find something that you want to solve, build it. And then by the time this next bull cycle comes around, it'll pay off.
Yeah, I think that's awesome advice. And it can be the second call to action that anybody who's bullish on this space in particular and sees the upside and the opportunity with decentralized wireless networks or DPIN or TIPIN, whatever we're going to call them. and you want to do some kind of development and be able to build something that isn't just another, like we don't need another Me Too network, right? We need the things that'll help scale these networks. I think it's an awesome call to action. It is so important. And any industry that has any kind of marginal success is really defined by the support ecosystems that are adjacent to the main kind of network or whatever the underlying thing is. And so, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think it's an awesome call and there's opportunity, like there's things happening. So it's not like there's a shortage of networks, right? There's a lot of places that you can go find
and, I mean,
product market fit.
I mean, Helium, they proved the use case, right? Of like you're literally, incentivization is key for anyone. So they proved the use case, like you incentivize somebody, they're going to do something and they're going to, you know, somebody's going to find a value out of it. But there's also like all these other networks, right? Like these different things that you can do now that are all based off that model. It bred an entire industry of just projects based around that idea. And that idea was powerful enough. Just having that idea was powerful enough to spawn all these new companies, right? Just, it's the same thing. Like if you have an idea, if you think that it's going to be something that can change everything, it can make it better. And, you know, it might be fully for selfish reasons, just because you want to make a bunch of money, whatever it is, doesn't matter. As long as that idea is worth it, you know, those ideas can inspire more and more things, derivatives of your idea. Like, you know, so I think if anything, Helium proved that in terms of what they built, and the network effects of that, like the different projects that are being built now, I think they're going to have a lasting effect into how we deploy infrastructure in general, in the future.
I think it's all going to change, and it's going to change for the better. And I think that's why we're all here and why we're excited about it.
Yeah. Same here, man. It's going to be a wild ride, but it's going to be fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Cool. Andrew, we so appreciate you taking the time to come on and chat. This was a super interesting conversation. I said this offline. I'm a big fan and really interested in the, call them the picks and shovels, the products that do make these networks a viable success, because I agree fully with your assessment that they are the reason why, in a lot of respects, why the networks actually will scale. So I think you have a brain dead use case that everybody who I know is doing deployments in large scales talk about that as one of the most cumbersome things that are preventing them from actually being successful. And I think that you're being ridiculously strategic in how you can see the future. I have no questions in my mind that this is going to be a success, and we're excited to be able to be an early supporter, early kind of you know, proselytizer of the idea. And
awesome,
yeah, we wish you all the best. So thank you again for joining.
I appreciate it, and I'll have to you know, we've got some things cooking up for V2 already once this one's launched. So we'll have to jump on another call and at some point, and I'll show you all these new features that are going to be launched, you know, next time.
Let's make it happen. Let's do it. Cool.
Cool, man.
All right, everybody. Well, we'll call it there. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. And we'll see you on the next one. Thank you.